Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and through His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text comes from our gospel lesson in Mark chapter 7. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition." Here ends our text. Once there was a couple of friends who both enjoyed duck hunting. One was an upbeat fellow, Glenn. He tried to always look at the bright side of life. And the second, Dan, not so much, as he tended to frown on every day going on. One day, Glenn got a new dog that he hoped he could use for duck hunting. Glenn worked with his new dog during his off hours, training the dog in obedience and retrieving. Duck season came, and Glenn was anxious to take Dan hunting and show him the new dog and what the dog could do. The ducks were flying that day, and Glenn and Dan had a lot of shooting, dropping ducks on the lake. The dog was phenomenal, retrieving by running across the top of the water, bringing back all the ducks the two men had dropped. At the end of the day, Glenn proudly loaded his dog back into the truck, eagerly awaiting Dan to praise his dog, who could run across the top of the water to retrieve the ducks. Dan simply said, "So apparently your dog doesn't know how to swim." We all know somebody or knew somebody like Dan, the person who seems to be able to find fault with us no matter what we do. We are apprehensive about telling the person any kind of news or viewpoint because we are sure that their response will be one that is negative or contrary. Sometimes we choose not to share with these people our opinions or experiences in an effort to protect ourselves from their constant disapproval. What we view as their continuous fault-finding, we find disheartening. Jesus had people who continually tried to find fault in his ministry. Most of them were the Pharisees who followed Jesus and criticized him and his disciples at every opportunity. The Pharisees were leaders of a religion that was a distortion of the original path of faith that our Heavenly Father had set his people on. This path of faith was a covenant that culminated with the gift of his Son, our Savior Jesus. Instead of accepting Jesus, the Pharisees saw Jesus as a threat to their man-made religion, which he was. He was a threat. From our text, "And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, 'Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?'" Here the Pharisees attacked Jesus' disciples, actually attacking Jesus, by accusing that they are eating with defiled hands. We don't know whether or not the disciples have washed their hands. The accusation is that they did not wash their hands according to the tradition of the elders. And what they mean by that is first they would put their hand thusly, pour the water over it, grind their fists into their hands like this, and then they would pour the water with their hands down. That was, according to the Pharisees, the right way to wash your hands. The Pharisees did not accuse the disciples of breaking God's law, but the tradition of the elders, which was actually more important to the Pharisees, as Jesus points out later in our text. It doesn't matter that they were so intimidated by Jesus that their Pharisees were desperate to soil his character using any rule or tradition that they could think of. I wonder if any of us have felt that way about someone, the way the Pharisees felt about Jesus. We often consider ourselves unlike the Pharisees of Scripture or those who are quick to point out the mistakes or imperfection of others. But the truth is, my friends, that we all have a potential of revealing our inner Pharisee. We all have the capability of criticizing or condemning either another person or group of people simply because we just don't like or agree with them. We all have the ability to disparage outcomes that most people would celebrate. Over 50 years ago, in July of 1969, the United States had just landed two men on the moon. We all watched our televisions while the astronauts walked on the lunar surface. I was 12 years old, and I had literally grown up with the space program. I was both in awe and I was celebrating this tremendous human effort. A day or two after the walk, I was riding with a neighbor who had lived across the street from my home in Detroit. I mentioned the fantastic events of the last few days and asked what my neighbor thought of it, expecting him to join in the worldwide praising surrounding the occasion. Instead, much to my surprise, my neighbor responded in the negative, saying that he didn't think much of the space program and complained about the enormous amount of money spent in this endeavor. I was shocked at my neighbor's response, criticizing the United States space program to a 12-year-old. What next? Mom's apple pie? Baseball? An American flag? The truth is, we as sinful human beings have the capability to find fault with anything or anybody we dislike or oppose. If those things that we dislike or oppose are created by said other sinful human beings, then it's easy to find fault with them. The Pharisees made the mistake was that they were critical of the one person in this world without sin, and that was Jesus. And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as the doctrine the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." Not only have the Pharisees targeted one who is without sin, the object of their criticism knows God's word far in excess of what they claim to know, by about a zillion. Jesus is God's word, made flesh. Jesus also knows that their man-made rules that they incorporated into their religion. Jesus uses God's word to refute the Pharisees, quoting Isaiah 29:13, saying that the Pharisees have fulfilled the prophecy that says these hypocrites, the Pharisees, would value their artificial rules more than God's commandments. The Pharisees use their manufactured rules to elevate themselves in the community. Their preoccupation with the regulations of their religion was not to glorify God, but to glorify themselves. When we criticize someone, is it out of a sense of self-importance? Possibly a way to demonstrate our superior knowledge about a subject? Is it because we place importance in things of this world, or are we simply surrendering to peer pressure? Does our neighbor not take care of their lawn like they should? Are they not wearing a mask when we think they should? Have you become a member of the vaccination police? Do we find fault with a politician simply because they belong to a different political party? Let's look at the example Jesus gives us. After being accused of not following Jewish tradition, Jesus uses God's word to refute and rebuke his accusers, thus glorifying our loving God. Jesus is able to reprimand his challengers and praise God at the same time. In the Pharisees' attempt to diminish Jesus and elevate themselves, they reveal their biggest mistake out of many mistakes. They demonstrated that they believed that as long as they followed Jewish law, their salvation was assured. It didn't matter what they felt in their hearts toward a loving God. If they followed the rules, according to their own judgment, they earned their right to eternal happiness. Actually, they have totally omitted God's covenant with his people, the promise of a Savior who saves us from sin. When we are tempted to find fault with others, we need to remember the one who is faultless, Jesus. The perfect sacrifice, because you and I are overflowing with faults. But share the good news that Jesus rescued us from our defects and faults. Rely on the Word of God as a mirror for our errors, and use it when you need to defend our faith, a faith in a loving God who sent his Son to compensate for all our countless faults. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.